ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् तत्त्वचायम् उदीरयेत् नास्तप्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवतः सेवया भगवदी उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिभवादि नैष्टिकी। So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 11, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. So, today we are studying text number 27. Sita tapatra vyajanai upakrita pasuna vashai abhivashita pati pisanga vasa vana malaya babo gano yata kodupa chapa vaidyutai sita tapacha vyajanai upaskrita prasuna vashai avivashita pati Pishanga vasa vanamarya ya babo gano yata ko tupa chapa vai dyutai sita tapa cha vyajanai upashik avupaskritai prasuna varai abhivashita pati pisanga vasa vanamanaya babo ganoyata ko kanoyata ko tupachapa vadyutai Sita tapacha vyajanai upaskrita prasuna vashai abhivasita pati pisanga vasa vana manyaya bhavo Ganoyata ko tupachapa vai dutai. Sita Atha Pacha, white umbrella. Vyajanai with a chamara fine. Upaskrita, being served by. Prasuna, flowers. Vashai, by the showers. Abhivasita, thus being covered. Pati, on the road. Pisanga Vasai, by the yellow garment. Vanamalaya, by the flower garlands. Babo, thus it became,
yeah.
Gana, crowd. Yata, as if. Aka, the sun. Utupa, the moon. Chapa, the rainbow. Vaidyutai, by the lightning. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. As the Lord passed along the public road of Dwarka, his herd was protected from the sunshine by white umbrella. White feathered fans moved in semicircles, and the showers of flowers fell upon the road. His yellow garments and garlands of flowers made it appear as if a dark cloud was surrounded simultaneously by sun, moon, lightning, and rainbows. Purport. The sun, moon, rainbow, and lightning do not appear in the sky simultaneously. When they shine, the moonlight becomes insignificant. And if there are clouds and the rainbow, there is no manifestation of lightning. The Lord's bodily hue is just like a new monsoon cloud. He is compared herein to the cloud. The white umbrella over his head is compared to the sun. The movement of the bunch hair fan of fruits is compared to the moon. The shower of flowers are compared to the stars. His yellow garments are compared to the rainbow. So all these activities of the firmament being impossible simultaneous factors cannot be adjusted by comparison. The adjustment is possible only when we think of the inconceivable potency of the Lord. The Lord is all-powerful, and in His presence, anything impossible can be made possible by His inconceivable energy. But the situation created at the time of His passing on the road of Dwarka was beautiful and could not be compared to anything besides the description of natural phenomena. Om Agyana Timinandasya Gyananjana Srakaya Chaksu Umnitan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vdaresmadi Tamo Krishna Kasma Abhinyanamini Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Vdaresmadi Bhaktivinanda Swami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachanine Nivishesha Shunyavati Paschadirishatam. Translation again. As the Lord passed along the public road of Dwarka, His head was protected from the sunshine by a white umbrella. White feathered fan moved in semicircles, and showers of flowers fell upon the road. His yellow garment and garlands of flowers made it appear as if a dark cloud was surrounded simultaneously by sun, moon, lightning, and rainbows. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he was talking about the inconceivable energy of the Lord. Prabhupada, he was saying, the Lord is all-powerful, and in His presence, anything impossible can be made possible by His inconceivable energy. In the Krishna book, there's a very nice description about the wonderful activities of the Lord by the gopals right after the Lord lifting the Govardhan hill. So one of the gopals, he was saying, my dear friend, considering His wonderful activities, how is it possible that such an uncommon boar would come and live with us in Vrindavan? It is really not possible. Just imagine, he is now only 7 years old. How is it possible for him to lift Govardhan Hill in one hand and hold it up just as the king of elephant holds a lotus flower. To lift a lotus flower is the most insignificant thing for an elephant. And similarly, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill without exertion. When he was simply a small baby and could not even see properly, he killed a great demon, Putana. While sucking her breast, he also sucked out a life air. Krishna killed the Putana demon exactly as eternal time kills a living creature in due course. When he was only three months old, he was sleeping underneath a hand driver cart, being hungry for his mother's breast. He began to cry and throw his legs upwards. And from the kicking of his small feet, the cart immediately broke apart and fell to pieces.
Yeah.
When he was only 1 year old, he was carried away by a Trinavata demon, disguised as a whirlwind. And although he was taken very high in the sky, he simply hung on the neck of the demon and forced him to fall from the sky and immediately die.
Yeah.
Once his mother, being disturbed by his stealing butter, tied him to a wooden mortar. We have just observed the Dhamda Lila. The Gopal, he was saying like that Madhya Yashoda, he tied him to a wooden mortar. And the child pulled it to a pair of trees known as Yamuna Arjuna tree, and caused them to fall. Once, when he was engaged in tending the cows in the forest, along with his older brother Balaram, a demon named Bakasura arrived, and Krishna at once bifurcated the demon's beak. When the demon known as Vatsasura entered among the calves tended by Krishna with a desire to kill him, he immediately detected the demon, killed him, and threw him into a tree. When Krishna, along with his brother Balaram, entered the Talavan forest, the demon known as Dhanukasura, in the shape of an ass, attacked them and was immediately killed by Balaram, who caught his hind leg and threw him into a palm tree. Although the Dhanukasura demon was assisted by his cohorts, also in the shape of asses. All were killed, and the Talavan forest was then open for the use of animals and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Pralambasura entered amongst Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, Krishna caused him to be killed by Balaram. Therefore, Krishna saved, thereafter, Krishna saved his friends and cows from a severe forest fire. And he chastised the Karya serpent in the lake of Yamuna River and forced him to leave the vicinity of Yamuna. He thereby made the water of Yamuna poisonous. And another, cowherd man, he was saying, "My dear Nanda, we do not know why we are so attracted by your son Krishna. We want to forget him, but this is impossible. Why are we so naturally affectionate towards him? Just imagine how wonderful it is. On one hand, he is only a boy of 7 years, and on the other hand, there is a huge hill like Govardhan Hill, and he lifted so easily. Oh, Nanda Maharaj, we are now in great doubt. Your son Krishna must be one of the demigods. He is not at all an ordinary boar. Maybe he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Yeah. So this is, how wonderful Krishna is. It's really inconceivable. And also, when Lord Krishna lifting the Govardhan Hill, the amazing thing is that it is here, the inhabitants of Vrindavan and their animals remain there for 1 week without being disturbed by hunger, thirst, or any other discomfort. So in other words, underneath the Govardhan Hill, it's spiritual world. Yeah. Whereas in this material world, everyone has to suffer from hunger, thirst, and so many other things. But the inhabitants underneath the Golden Hill, they are not suffering from any of this. So it's really Krishna's energy is really inconceivable. Yeah. There was one time, Narada Muni, he was asked by one copper. Yeah. He was asking Narada Muni, "My dear great sage Narada, what my Lord Narayan was doing in Vaikuntha? So can you tell me?" He was requesting Narada Muni. And Narada Muni told him that when I saw Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, I saw him, he was passing an elephant through the needle, through the eyes of a needle. And as soon as the cobra heard about that, he was jumping in ecstasy. "Look how wonderful my Lord is." Yeah. So, although the elephant is so huge, but the eyes of the needle is so small. But the Lord, he can do anything, inconceivable. So it is said that the Lord can become smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. Yeah. So Krishna's potency is really inconceivable. In the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, he also wrote that, actually, he quote from the Svetasvatara Upanishad. It is said here that the Supreme Lord is the controller of all other controllers, and he is the greatest of all the diverse planetary leaders. Everyone is under his control. All entities are dedicated with particular power only by the Supreme Lord. They are not supreme themselves. He is also worshipable by all demigods and is the supreme director of all directors. Therefore, he is transcendental to all kinds of material leaders and controller, and is worshipable by all. There's no one greater than him, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. He does not possess a bodily form like that of an ordinary living entity. There's no difference between his body and his soul. In other words, Krishna's body and his soul, they are the same. Not like us. He is absolute. All his senses are transcendental. Any one of his senses can perform the action of any other sense. For example, we are offering the foodstuff to the deities in the temple. We may ask how the deities can eat the foodstuff we are being offered to him. Prabhupada said, you know, Krishna can eat from his eye. simply by seeing the foodstuffs offered to him, you know, Krishna can eat like that, you know. It is exactly what is said here. So his senses can perform action of any other sense. Therefore, no one is greater than him or equal to him. His potencies are multifarious, and thus his deeds are automatically performed as a natural sequence.
Yeah.
So I'll just stop here. You know, before giving the class, I talked to Bhrigu Paripabhu. And, you know, Bhrigu Paripabhu, he has some wonderful ideas about, you know, Krishna's, inconceivable potency. And he agreed to share some of his realization. So please get the microphone for, Bhrigu Paripabhu. So please let him share some of his insight about this.
Wonderful ideas, but I'll start the ball rolling. Jiva Goswami makes the point that unless somebody accepts the inconceivable potency of the Lord, then you can't go any further. You can't make any further progress in devotional service. You have to be prepared to accept that. And I think the practical, for a devotee, the practical manifestation of accepting that, the symptom of a person who's accepted the inconceivable potency of the Lord, is that they'll engage seriously in sadhana bhakti. And I'd like to say, you're accepting the inconceivable potency of the Lord, but you're not engaging you know, you're not doing the basic things that Prabhupada gave us, that would be contradictory. And when you start engaging in devotional service, when you know you follow the basic sadhana of rising early and coming to Mangalore, you know, all these different things, basic things that Prabhupada gave us, and in addition to that, you engage in devotional service, particularly, well, I won't say particularly Sankirtana, and that's been my service, so that's where I've experienced it. But you actually experience the inconceivable potency of the Lord. You start experiencing it. I mean, obviously not to the magnitude that of some of these pastimes where Krishna's expanding to 16,108 forms or lifting Govardhan Hill. But you experience, in a smaller way, the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Like, for instance, we had an example of that a couple mornings ago, that we were listening to Shruti Kirti's memory of when the when they're in the airplane and that airline hostess came and she grabbed the puff rice. She just spontaneously grabbed the puff rice from his plate and started eating it. And then another devotee, 20 years later, another devotee met her someplace in some village in the Amazon, knocked on her door, and, you know, she'd become a devotee. And she acknowledged that, oh, yeah, that's how it all started. So, you know, and just this morning, just before I came over to class, I checked my emails, and there was an email from Vijay, and this devotee was describing how he was on an airplane, and he was just, you know, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the lady sitting next to him, she took a nap. 3 hours later, she woke up and she said, "What are you reading?" And he started telling her about it a little bit. And she bought a set of Bhagavatams on the airplane. So, you know, and on and on and on and on. Every devotee has their stories, and probably many, you know, more than one. That's it. The inconceivable potencies. That's the. We have to accept that, and then the way to accept it is engage in the process, and then you start getting Krishna reveals. Krishna reveals to you how that these things, these inconceivable things, are not so inconceivable after all, because Krishna is capable of doing anything. So that would be my comment.
Right, right. Thank you so much. Wonderful comment. Yeah, thank you. Any other questions and comments? Yes, Dr. Joshua.
The purport you read from the Bhagavad Gita, what verse was it?
The Bhagavad Gita, it's chapter 3, text number 22.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the class, Prabhuji.
My pleasure. Any other questions and comments? Yes, Sachidanoy Prabhu.
Like Bhrigupati Prabhu mentioned, that each devotee has probably hundreds of, in a small degree, experiences of how Krishna can, you know, like the inconceivable potency of Krishna. I was given a Spanish class one time, and one person there, he looked very interested, so I was curious. I asked, "How do you became attracted?" He said that he was a painter. He used to paint houses, and one day he in one house, it was like abandoned, or somebody left a statue there, but he became so attracted to that statue, and he said, "And I just took it because nobody owns it anymore." And then later on, he said, "I realized it was Krishna. Somebody told him that's Krishna." And he's like, "Oh my God!" So the way he came to him, it's amazing. Another small experience. Well, you know, you can write a book of all this. Any Sankirtan devotee can write. So, just about a couple of weeks ago, I was in the Northridge, and Bhrigupati was there, Dira Lalita was there, I was there, and I met a boy who became interested, like maybe like 3 months before I gave him a japa bead bag. He still carried it with him. So he came, he asked me, can we meditate? And I said, yeah, come back around 3 o'clock. But somehow other, I got covered over. I saw Brigo and him leaving. I always leave at 3 o'clock whenever I go, whichever place. So then he said, "I miss him. I lost that appointment." So I forgot about it. So a week later he came. No, a week later somebody else came. Totally different, somebody else. He says, "Can you teach me meditation?" And that was like the busiest time, you know, like 12 o'clock. And I thought, can we do it at 3 o'clock? He said, "Well, 3:30. I said, "Well, you know, I have to do it before because and then the freeway is too packed." And he said, "Well, I think maybe another time." And I was feeling bad that I'm like, this person is asking me to do that. I'm not doing it. What's wrong with me? So then he said, can I go to the bathroom and I'll be back? I said, yeah, come back. Suddenly, as soon as he left and I'm waiting for this boy, he will come back. Another one shows up. He said, you know what? Last time, the one that I had an appointment a week before, you know, you told me that we were going to do meditation and somehow you left. I'm not upset. He said, but I'm just telling you that now I would like to do it right now. I said, wow, oh my God. I said, this has to be a mystical experience, a divine arrangement. Because the other boy, I was kind of declining him, but then he came. And then, okay, let's say, let's start and we'll wait for the other one. Whenever he comes, he'll see us meditating, we'll start doing it together. So I have big bag, I always bring big bags to Japan. So we start meditating and start explaining. The other one comes and says, whoa, 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 what's going on here? I said, you were telling me later on, you're cheating me. I said, no, come on and join. I said, it was meant to be. So that, you know, all these things that with calculations, try to do things like that, and you try to arrange things in a way that you think is convenient for you. Actually, Krishna, when he wants something to happen, you cannot explain it. It's just meant to be. Haribo.
Thank you for your wonderful, you know, sharing. Thank you. So that we will stop here. You know, thank you very much. Gantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Haribo. Haribo. Yeah.